Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota Public Broadcasting looks at the future of faith in South Dakota through a series of conversations here on In the Moment and across our digital and television platforms. Today, the future of Hinduism in the region. South Dakota recently opened the doors to its first Hindu temple near T. Chandrahar Dvaiti is a Hindu priest as well as a pioneer in South Dakota's pharmaceutical education. He came to the U.S. in 1973 from India and has since made South Dakota his home. Welcome back. Thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure to be on the show. Good afternoon.
Let's talk a little bit about your earliest memories of faith, of Hinduism, that now as an adult you can look back and say, that's, you know, I recognize that now that maybe I didn't realize as a child was about faith.
Well, when you are growing as a child, and especially in a country where majority is Hindu, so you take it for granted.
Yeah.
You think everybody is the same. In fact, the real feel of being Hindu I got when I came to the United States.
Really?
What does it mean to be Hindu where everybody else is different? So my answer sounds a little odd, but you know, I did not appreciate and did not know what it means to be Hindu until I landed in USA in 1973.
How old were you then, when you come then?
25.
So you're an adult at that point. And were you homesick? Were you?
Well, I was homesick. Yeah. But again, that's the faith is the something which gives you hope and courage to sustain in the place where you are completely a stranger.
Right. Yeah. We look in South Dakota now. I mean, Hinduism is the third largest religion nationwide.
Yeah. So, the world, you know, I could say.
In the world. Thank you. In the world.
Yeah.
And but now in South Dakota, you know, it's a fairly small but growing population.
It's hard to come up with the exact, you know, number. But per my observation, I think we have about 2,000, 3,000 people in the area. I'm talking about roughly 100 miles around.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. How important has it been to have a temple in this part of the region?
It's a very, very crucial to have a place for worship. So where, you know, the community can get together and, you know, and not only worshiping, but at the same time, you know, cultural bonding and religious bonding, and especially our youngsters. Mm-hmm. Because as I indicated when I came, you know, I was 25 years old. I found my way to explore and learn. But youngsters who are 4 or 5 years old, so now they have the experience what I had when I was growing up. Of course, it's different, but at least they have experience. And before we had a temple, it's mostly the parents and the relatives who are close by, so they were watching that. So something when you go out of your family and, again, comfort zone, then it impacts you a lot more. So I think it's much more important for our youngsters and future generations.
Do you, when people ask you about your faith, when they ask you about Hinduism, do you like to be asked those questions?
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Because I'm proud to be, I'm honored to be Hindu.
Right.
And if somebody asks and they are curious to know, I will be honored and glad to explain about my faith.
So many people in America think of Hinduism as meditation or yoga or things that have come to the West and become secular, become just something that you do after work on a Tuesday. I'm going to yoga class.
Yeah.
But what are some of the foundations of Hindu faith, of your faith, that you can tell us about?
Actually, you know, the yoga and meditation, what you see here, it has roots in the Hinduism.
Yeah.
But this is the physical form of the philosophy of the religion. So what people learn here, very few people really understand what yoga means.
Right.
Yoga is just not, you know, you go for a certain period and do exercise and it's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, yoga is much more beyond that. In fact, I'm mispronouncing, it's not yoga, it's yog.
Okay.
Not long A at the end, yo.
Okay.
And it, Sanskrit word, which means the union of body and soul. So while you are in the yoga, you are connecting your body with your soul, so any spirituality. So it's a spiritual practice, not just physical exercise.
Yeah.
And similarly, meditation. Meditation is not just process. Again, you are searching and finding inner self of you. So it's a lot more than what physically you do. So you have to get into. People do meditation and yoga for years and years. You still, you know, they are searching for it. I'm not sure whether you have read about Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
He was born in a Hindu family, and then he spent most of his youth in searching for the himself.
Yeah.
And then he became the Buddha.
Right.
So it's just beginning, but it's a long way to go. So I give a long answer to your question, but, you know, yeah, it's good. The yoga and meditation have roots and link with the Hinduism, but a lot more than what we see here.
Right.
And again, I'm, you know, in 70s, still, I have a long way to go to understand and realize that.
Right. Are there other daily practices for you? What practices have meaning for you?
Well, you know, that's one thing which usually people see when they come to our temple, rituals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very ritualistic, you know, religion. There are a lot of practice. But when you put in the abstract form, those are not the only practice of the religion. So everyone can design the practice of the religion the way it fits in the schedule and the way it gives you inner peace.
Yeah.
But when you go to the temple, most of the temples are, you know, ritualistic. They perform different rituals. So when you go to almost any temple you go, there will be some rituals going on.
Right.
But you don't have to go to temple. In fact, even you can practice the religion at your home. So there's not one set aside of the practice of the religion. And that's the reason, you know, in India, the religion survived in spite of invasion of so many people, because if they suppress one thing, you find another way to practice it.
Right? Yeah, in spite of colonization.
Sense, yeah.
And oppression.
And, yeah.
And, right.
But still, we survived.
Still here. For a long, long, long time.
And say, when I came here, yeah, there's no temple.
Right.
So we have to find a way to, when I came from India, India was full of temples, full of trees, full, you know, gardens. But here I have to find my way of practicing the religion and worshiping. And at the same time, when I had a family, I have to find a way to teach my children, you know, how to practice the religion.
Right.
So, yeah.
When we look at the future of Hinduism in South Dakota, is the battle, or not the right word, but are we worried about just indifference, people thinking that faith doesn't matter?
No. I think I have a limited observation, you know, with the youngsters. Obviously, you know, youngsters' perception of the religion and faith will not be exactly as their parents.
Right.
But they filter out. But I have a pretty strong feeling they will retain the teaching and philosophy of the religion. And again, as I said, with the limited experience of my children and grandchildren. So I have three children and four grandchildren. They are all Hindus and they practice Hinduism, but a little different than, but in abstract form,
yeah,
basically the same thing they do. But they are not as ritualistic as, you know, older generation are. Right. They don't go to temple that often, but you still, you know, believe in the spirituality of the religion. Mm.
Dr. Devada, thank you for coming back, and hopefully you'll come back again. And
yes,
we'll
sure.
See
it's an honor to be here.